our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The Gerasene demoniac. It must have been a dramatic scene. This guy running around naked. You realize, of course, that that means when he ran up to the boat to greet Jesus, he would have been naked, living among the tombs, being chained and breaking the chains. You know, if somebody's out living among the tombs, that's a place nobody wants to be. That would mean a place outside of the town where they buried their dead. And they would fear the place. Nobody wanted to go there. And it meant for him to be there that he was perpetually unclean because he was around dead bodies. And so it excluded him from the regular life of the community. It's really, if you think about it, it's a symbol of all that frightens us, all that scares us, even those things that scare us from within ourselves. And Jesus actually interacts with him, apparently without fear. "What is your name?" he says. Nobody else wanted to even talk to him. That's probably why he was able to get close to Jesus, is because nobody wanted to interact with him enough to try to keep him away. And Jesus spoke like one who has authority and has this conversation with the demons who beg not to be sent back into the abyss, but to be sent into the herd of pigs. And they are sent into the herd of pigs. Jesus allows them to go there. And the pigs all rush headlong down the hill and are drowned in the lake. Now, Luke doesn't tell us how many there were, just that it was a large herd. Mark tells the same story. This story is actually in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all tell us the same story. Mark tells us that it was about 2,000 pigs. Let me tell you, that is a huge herd of pigs. Just imagine cleaning up after 2,000 pigs. There might be a herd of 20 pigs, or maybe 50 pigs would be considered quite large, but 2,000. This is a side note, but just take note of the observation that evil is always insane. Evil always contains within its plans and schemes the seeds of its own destruction. Legion said to Jesus, "Don't send us back to the abyss," which is the place that they would have to go if they were just cast out of the person. And so they go into the pigs, and what do? They rush headlong into the lake. And where do they end up? In the abyss. Exactly the place they didn't want to go. And if you think back through history, Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, Kahn, Bin Laden, whatever example you want to use, they all have within their schemes the seeds of their own eventual undoing. But by contrast, we now have this man who is sitting calmly and clothed and in his right mind. And the owners of the pigs, of course, are angry. We can understand that. Back in that day, people didn't buy stock. They bought livestock. That's how they kept their wealth. was to have livestock. And 2,000 swine represented a lot of wealth. That was a very affluent person. And now we don't know if they might have had some cows or goats or some other herds, but they certainly lost a lot of wealth on that day. And so we can understand the swine herders. And so the men who took care of the pigs, they lost their jobs. The men who owned the pigs lost a lot of wealth. But did you notice that the other folks, the people in the town, they were frightened. This made them so afraid that they wanted Jesus to go away. Now remember what had happened. The crazy man that they had to try to bind up in chains and keep out in the tombs is now sane and in his right mind. He's not a problem anymore. And their response wasn't to celebrate. Their response was fear. So often, mark this, so often we prefer the demon we know to the peace we don't know. So often we would rather have things carry on as we're accustomed to them being, rather than deal with the real change that good news and healing and grace can mean. I've watched the family of a number of people with addiction issues. And as counterintuitive as it might be, one of the things that always happens, somebody goes off and gets treatment for alcoholism or gets clean of drugs or whatever it might be. The family system, perhaps not even consciously, tends to want to push them back into that addictive behavior because it's the pattern that everybody was comfortable with. It gave them somebody to blame all their problems on. It gave them somebody to point to. It gave them somebody to see as worse than themselves. And so you see, it brings a certain comfort, a certain familiarity. And so they try to push them back into those patterns. So often, we are prevented from receiving the healing that Jesus would give us because we choose to hold on to fear. We choose to hold on to that which seems familiar to us and is comfortable in its familiarity rather than deal with the unknown, the adjustments, the new relationships, the new way of dealing with things that comes from healing and change and a new person. Now the reason that Luke and Matthew and Mark also tell us this story, and I think the reason Jesus performed the healing, was to demonstrate his authority over the demons. Now the reality is, of course, that that's actually very rare. Even those who deal in the spiritual realm with these kinds of issues within the life of the church will tell you that that kind of full-on demonic possession does happen, but is very rare. The Exorcist movie is not happening around every corner. And it's important for us to know that our God has power over these things. But what's more important, and what I think we need to learn from this today for our lives together, is that Jesus has authority over what controls you, of those fears that have a grip inside of you, of those things that you hang on to that are destructive, because we just don't always know how to deal with letting go. And so we hold on to all kinds of things that are destructive to us because we don't know what life would look like without them. We don't know what life would look like if we abandon them. Some of them are socially acceptable. A workaholic, who spends all their time and all their waking hours at work and is more devoted to work than to the family. That's lauded. We reward them with more money and with prestige and a corner office. Tobacco. Many of us are addicted to tobacco. Or alcohol. Many of us mask our alcoholism with socially acceptable drinking. But there are lots and lots of other things. It doesn't have to be things that we conventionally think of as addictive. Maybe you're controlled by your appearance. Maybe you're controlled by your wealth, by your status. Maybe you're controlled by needing to have drama swirling around you all the time. We all know somebody like that, don't we? Maybe it's holding on to resentments and unforgiveness and broken relationships because it gives us something to blame our problems on. Maybe we're addicted to being titillated, to always being the one with the latest bit of news. I think that's a lot of our addiction to social media today. So we always have to have the latest little thing. We always have to be in the know. Maybe you have this need to control others and to exert that control in some silly little way. Maybe it's certain relationships that you don't think you can live without, but you would really be better off if you began to carve them out of the day-to-day of your lives. Are you willing to be delivered from these things? Are you willing to face the changes that would be required if you allowed Jesus to come into your life and take authority over these things that control you, that hold you, that captivate you, that keep you behaving in ways that you know are not good for yourself or for others who are around you? Are you willing to face the unknown of that peace? The unknown of a new life, a new pattern, a new set of relationships, a new way of living that might come if you were to let go of these things that we hold on to? It's not always easy. It can be a fearful thing. But Jesus has authority over those things that hold you back, over those things that bind you up. And if you can trust him to deliver you from those things, you can trust him to deliver you into a new life, a different life, a new pattern, a new way of relating. It can be better, healthier, more joyful, and more complete in its devotion to God. Let me just take a moment to advertise something. We deal with this issue at some length in the School of Healing Prayer, which we ran last year and we'll be doing again in September. I hope many of you will consider signing up for that in September. And we'll be looking at a part of that class at how it is that we deal with giving over to God, with allowing God to come in and heal those things that hold on to us, those things that we hold on to and fear to give up, fear to let become different in our lives. If you'll let Jesus take care of those things, he'll walk you through the new life that comes. Amen.